Good morning, Oasis. I've been up here before, but not on a Sunday morning. Okay, we're going to be teaching on communion. Now, I know it's been taught before, but I'm going to approach it from a little bit of a different perspective. So before we start, let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence that's already here. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. Lord, I ask, oh God, that your anointing, Lord, will flow through me, that you will give your people hearing ears, Lord, and a receiving heart. Open the eyes of their understanding, Lord, and help them to hear and to see, Lord, the depth, Lord, of your word, the depth, Lord, of why you sent Jesus, the depth, Lord, of why his body was broken, the depth, Lord, of why we drink the wine. Lord, I just commit everything to you. Have your way, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, like I said, communion has been taught before in this church. I think two people did it. I'm not sure, but you know, most Christians they just think that communion is a ritual that we do, and they never stop to think, what's the purpose of communion? Why do we take the bread? Why do we drink the wine? What does it stand for? You know, when God wrote the Bible, everything in there was for a reason. When I first got saved and I started reading the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, you know, when you got to where this begotten, so and so, I just used to skip right over it because it didn't make, oh, you know, all this so and so begot. And then, you know, when I think in Leviticus, where God gave the laws and you had to read about, you know, the sacrifices and how they did things and all that stuff, then I just didn't understand it. It didn't mean nothing to me, so I would just jump over it. But, you know, as I grew and got older and more established in the Lord, I came to realize that those things were put there for a purpose. You know, it wasn't just to take up space. All right? So everything that is written concerning the word, concerning, you know, communion, is there for a reason. But I'm going to take us back a little bit into the Old Testament. And I'm going to talk briefly on Passover. Now, most of us know the story. The children of Israel, they were enslaved in Egypt. And then God sent Moses to deliver them. And Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. You know, he didn't want to give up his free labor. You know, and he just wasn't about to release them. And so God had to deal with Pharaoh in a very special way. Now, Passover in the Old Testament, it was a shadow of the Lord's Supper, okay? A lot of things that we read about in the Old Testament is a type of shadow of things to come. You know, it wasn't time yet, but, you know, God was putting things in place. And so the Apostle Paul, he spoke about it in Hebrews 10, verse 1 and 3. You know, he talked quite a bit about it. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again, made of sins every year. See, back in the Old Testament, they had to do sacrifices. They killed goats and rams, and you know, the priest would sprinkle the blood on the people and on the altar and all that. And this was for to forgive their sins. And they did this once a year. okay? Now, if the blood of goats was able to do permanently take care of the sins of the people, they wouldn't have had to do it more than one time, you know. But they had to do it once a year. This is what Paul is talking about. It was a shadow. It was something, it was a representation, a symbol of something better that was yet to come. Okay? So, you know, we're going to look at the real meaning. Now, Pharaoh was being stubborn. Our pastor spoke last week on how not to be stubborn. Some of us are stubborn. I know I can be stubborn. And because of his stubbornness, his hardness of heart, a total of 10 plagues were used against them. But it wasn't until the 10th plague that Pharaoh relented. Okay? The firstborn of every Egyptian was going to die. The firstborn of every Egyptian was going to die because of Pharaoh's stubbornness. You know, sometimes when we are stubborn, you know, God is trying to get us to do something or not to do a thing, and we're stubborn, other people pay, for our stubbornness. They pay for our disobedience. A lot of those Egyptians died because of Pharaoh's hardness of heart. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. I hope I have time. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your conch for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Now notice here, lamb without blemish. Jesus was a lamb without blemish. He was a male. See the type and shadow here. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs and with its pertinence. Now there was a reason why God said, he gave them instructions how to cook it. He said, don't cook it with water. You know, I never really understood, I never even thought why he said, don't cook it with water. The lamb also represented the word, and we are not supposed to water the word down. Okay? Roast it with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. The bitter herbs represented the hard tasks, the hard labor, the difficult times that they suffered in Egypt. See, everything was for a reason. And you shall let nothing. Okay, I'm missing something here. Okay, eat it not raw nor sodden with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, everything, the head, the brain, the eyes, the nose, everything, with its pertinence, the insides. They're supposed to eat all of it. Now, some of us, you know, in some cultures, they cook certain parts of animals, and most Americans would turn up their nose at it. back in Guyana, we have a thing called black pudding. And this black pudding is something, it's a bunch of stuff that they cook up, but it's mostly the inside, the intestines of the cow. They turn it inside out and they wash it. And then they cook this rice with a bunch of seasoning and stuff and blood. And they stuff it in intestines, and they boil it and they serve it with some kind of a spicy sauce. So when I got saved, I love black pudding. I mean, I absolutely love black pudding. And then I got saved, and I found out I couldn't eat it. And because of the blood, you know, and God had instructed the children of Israel not to eat the blood. And I mean, that was a sacrifice to me to make no black pudding. But you know, the life is in the blood.
Yeah.
You know, at home when we kill our chickens and stuff, they cut the neck and they drain the blood. They just don't wring it. They cut it and they drain the blood. And that goes back, you know, to the Hebrew teaching not to eat the meat with the blood. So the insides, they were supposed to eat the head, the legs, everything. That was a representation of what Jesus was getting ready to do on the cross for us and the healing that was going to take place in our bodies, including our insides. He said, eat it with the pertinence thereof. That means, you know, we can be healed in our liver, our lungs, whatever. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but let's move on. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, you with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now I looked up the word ordinance, and it says it's a principle governing an action or procedure. An imposition of a law by a sovereign authority, and the obligation and obedience of on the part of all those who are subject to that authority. Okay? Now we have ordinances that to observe the 4th of July. That's a holiday. That's when the United States became a sovereign nation. It's a big thing, okay? God wanted the children of Israel to remember this time. It wasn't just something that was going to happen one time and then they go on and forget about it. You know, all of us have birthdays. I froze mine about 35 years ago. But you know, every year, if nobody else remembers my birthday, I remember my birthday. I remember this is the day I was born. You know, my mom told me when I was born, she held me up as soon as the nurses gave me to her. She said, I offer you up to the Lord. And when I had my three kids, I did the same thing. The only thing I went one better. I didn't wait for them to be born. I gave them while they were still inside of me. So I remember my birthday. Each of you remember your birthday. May not tell anybody or want to admit it, you know. But you remember your birthday. You remember it. This was, in a sense, their birthday. It was an ordinance. It was something that God was doing, not just for that particular moment in time, but it was a type of and shadow of something that was going to take place years later, hundreds of years later. And he said, I want you to remember this. That's why the Jewish nations, they observe Passover. They observe all the other feasts and stuff that go along with it. But you know what? I found out it's not just for them. It's for us. The enemy did a really good job in hoodwinking the church and making them think, you know, that you had to be a Jew to do this stuff. Now, we don't have to do the, you know, the killing of the lamb and all that because Jesus did all that. But, you know, we should remember, you know, and observe, you know, the Passover and some of those feasts. as the Lord gives us light and he's beginning to give revelation knowledge, and remember it, because when we remember it and we honor God with an offering, blessings are released to us. Amen. It's amazing, you know, the blessings that are locked up because we do not recognize, you know, these laws. But that's a different story. I'm not going there. Okay. So it was a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things that can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year. It was a shadow of things to come. All right. Now, I know you're wondering, okay, what does any of this have to do with communion? I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to build a foundation. I'm building my case, so to speak. Okay, so let's keep in mind what the children of Israel had to do in order that they would be protected from the dead angel when he came. They had to slay the firstborn of the sheep. They couldn't just go and get any sheep. It had to be the firstborn, it had to be a male, it had to be spotless, it had to be pure, couldn't have any blemishes. Jesus is the firstborn Son of God. He's a male, he was pure, spotless, okay? You see the type and shadows there, all right? Okay. So, I'm kind of jumping around. So the Passover was actually a blood covenant God was making with man when he finally sent Jesus, okay? In Hebrews 9:22, we read, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. In order to forgive sins, blood has to be enacted. Somebody's blood. Luke 22:7-19. That we're jumping over into the New Testament. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now Jesus is on the scene. Okay, this is New Testament. He's on the scene. And these the disciples and the Jews in that day, they're still observing Passover. Okay? All right. Jesus, in the Old Testament, Jesus was not there. The time wasn't right. The time wasn't ready. There's a set time and a purpose when God does things. He doesn't do it just randomly. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son, and made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, Jesus was born, probably about 30-something. And he is about to conclude his mission here on earth, okay? Which is to redeem man back to God. So we're going to pick it up in verse 8. Did I tell him where? Luke 22:8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber? And where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall shew you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 disciples with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now Jesus is talking about his upcoming crucifixion. His disciples, they still didn't comprehend in full what was about to occur. All right? In verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not eat any more of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now let's compare. Let's do a little bit of comparison here. In Exodus 12, the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of the homes of the Israelites saved them from death. They were all commanded to eat the body of the lamb, the Passover lamb. The body of the lamb healed them. Now, we've all seen the Ten Commandments, and they're coming out, and they're weak, and, you know, some are blind, and some have to be carried. But that's not what the word said. Okay. When they came out of Egypt, there was not one feeble man or woman among them. Because they partook of the body of the Lamb.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
And a miracle took place. They were healed. They were miraculously healed. No matter what was wrong with them, they were healed. See, God knew that they had a long journey ahead of them. And he was preparing them for that journey. God never will call you, tell you to do something and not equip you.
That's right.
Okay? And so as they ate the lamb, I'm not sure if they knew what was going to happen when they ate the lamb. But can you imagine after they ate and then suddenly, whoo, I feel good. You know? A miracle took place. They were healed. And he said that was a shadow of future things to come. Yes, yes. In the New Testament when Jesus said, do this in remembrance. Amen. Every time we take communion, we should expect to be healed.
Amen.
Amen. Imagine if the lamb, the Passover lamb, healed them. How much more Jesus, the real Lamb of God? He's the real thing. The Israelites were commanded to eat all the body of their Passover lamb. At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, and this is in Luke 19, gave thanks and brake it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Even though he hadn't been crucified at that particular moment, it was already given. His body was already given. You know, it's like sometimes I might cook something and I put aside a certain portion for a friend. And everybody in the household know not to touch it. this is for so-and-so.
Right.
God, Jesus had already, in his mind and everything, he had already given his body.
Uh-huh.
All right? He said, he took the bread, gave thanks, break it, and he gave him the saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The bread represented his body which was about to be beaten. It represented his side that was about to be pierced. And the Bible said, from his side flowed blood and water. Now, I did a little research on that, and I found out that when you're hung on a cross, you know, there's water that accumulates around your heart and your lungs. So when the soldier pierced his side, the Bible said that blood and water flowed, right? The blood flowed. That was for the cleansing of our sin. But his body was beaten. He was beaten beyond description. He was beaten so badly that they could barely recognize him. He really took a beating. I mean, sometimes on some movies they have the crown of thorns, and I mean, just looking at it, it's like, oh, how could they have done that to him? And you know they didn't just rest it lightly on his head. They put it there and they pressed it down really good, you know. So he bore, he suffered blood. There were drops of blood coming from his head. He was beaten. I found out that there's some kind of a whip they used to beat you with in those days. I think they called it the cat of nine tails or something. And when they beat you, you know, when they hit you, you know, it just branded your entire back, you know, and they hit you again and they beat him again. I mean, they really beat him. And for every stripe that he took, every stripe represented the diseases and infirmities and stuff that we would have, that, you know, we would suffer. Now, it is said that he took 39 stripes, but I have a feeling it's more than 39. I mean, if they were beating him as badly as the Bible said, it had to be more than 39 stripes. He was beaten beyond recognition. In verse 34, now verse 34 of John 19 lines up with Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. See, Jesus took the stripes for so that we can be healed. Okay? There was a reason why he went through everything that he went through. It was for us. If we had to pay for our own sin, even our own blood, I don't think would have been enough to cover our sin, because our blood has already been corrupted. Uh-huh. You know, sin required pure blood. On sin, you know, the blood that there is no sin, no stain attached to it. He bore our griefs. You know, when we're grieving, we're sorrowful, we're hurting, we're sad, you know, about something, Jesus already bore that. We can give those griefs to him. We don't have to carry it. You know, we don't have to worry about stuff. Years ago, something had happened in our home, you know, when I was still a teenager. And that night I went to sleep, and my mom could not believe it. She came to my room and she said, "How can you sleep? How can you lay down and sleep like that?" I mean, I worked hard all day. I'm tired. She expect me to sit up by our window. Some thieves had come and stolen our pipelines, and my brother gave me money to replace them. So she decided she was gonna, you know, watch over the lines, and she wanted me to watch them with her. So I went to sleep. I was tired, you know. I gave that to the Lord, you know. You watch over, let him watch over it. Now she was watching over it, and then she fell asleep and they still came and stole it. She could have been in our bed in comfort, you know. A lot of times we do that. We carry things that we should just give to God. Because he bore them, he carried them. You know, he was smitten of God. God allowed him to be smitten for us. That's how much God loved us. Okay, I'm moving along as fast as I can. I want to read this in the Message, Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our rebellion. Are we rebellious? Crushed for our sins. He was crushed. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. That's how much God loved us. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Anything we could suffer, Jesus bore it for us. So when Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." When we take the bread and we eat it, we're eating his body in as much the same way the children of Israel did. We're eating it the same way in as much as they did when they ate that lamb. That bread is a representation of the body of Jesus. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it and said, you know, "Drink. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many," indicating, you know, that his blood, is what was going to cleanse us from our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in the King James Version, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." His job was complete. The cup of the blood was shed for us, for our deliverance. Everything was complete. When he hung on the cross and said, "It is finished," it was finished. Everything was finished. There was nothing that was left untouched. You know, sometimes we clean our houses and we might just forget, you know, say, "Oh, you know, I'll do this part tomorrow." No. When Jesus did it, it was finished. That's why he cried out, "It is finished." He had paid the price, not only for our salvation, but also for our healing. That's why communion is so sacred. It's sacred. It's not just something that we should take for granted. It's not just something that we should just do lightly. That's why it was an ordinance that they should remember forever. God said, "This is an ordinance for you to remember forever." All right? When we take communion, we are remembering what Jesus did. We're remembering that he paid the price for our sin. We're remembering that he bore the stripes for us. By his stripes, we are healed. If there's a sickness, something that we're struggling with, when we take communion, we can expect a miracle in our bodies, just like it happened on Passover night. When they ate the lamb, they were all healed, so that they were able to take the journey ahead of them. And they ate all of it. All of it. The head. As a teenager, the church that I went to, we had this trip. The young people, the teenagers, had this trip to a certain part of our country. And, you know, I wanted to go, but I didn't have all the money necessary to go. And so this day, my mom gave me money and said, "I want you to go to the market and buy this, this, this." She gave me a list, you know. So I'm looking at the list, and I'm trying to figure out where I can get a quarter here and a 10 cents here, you know. I'm trying out this. So she told me to buy fish. I really know she said fish. Mm-hmm. But I figured if I get this particular fish, they used to sell them by the bundle for cheap. You could get like 12 or 14 fishes for like maybe 25 cents. I figured I'd buy this particular fish. It's a fish that had four eyes. A fish that had two up and two at the bottom. And so instead of buying what she told me to buy, I decided I was going to get this cheap fish so that I could get all this money to put towards my trip, right? So I took the stuff home and I cooked the fish, and I didn't cut the head off. I fried the fish and everything. And my mom came home, and I dished up, you know, and I presented her this plate. And my mother took one look and said, "Four eyes, what kind of fish is this? What is this, these eyes staring at me?" She did not eat. Lady lost her appetite. She could not eat that fish with those eyes sticking out. I should have really cut the head off, you know. But, you know, the children of Israel were told to eat it all. I suppose that included their eyes and the brain, you know, and all that stuff, you know. Because as they ate what the lamb represented, everything was going to be healed from head to toe. Right? From head to toe. So it was significant, and God wants us to remember. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The New American Standard Bible says, he made him who knew no sin. Jesus was pure. But God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. See, he took our place so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He exchanged places with us. He gave up all the royalty and everything, you know, of heaven, and became one of us in every way. In every way. And then finally, he hung on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished." His purpose on earth was complete. He had paid the price completely, not just for our salvation, but for our healing. And that is why when we partake of communion, we're doing communion this morning, we must remember the real reason why we're doing it. We're not doing it just to do it, okay? There's a price that was paid for us. And God wants us to remember what communion is all about. If we partake of communion, truly remembering, you know, what he did, we can be healed. Amen. We can experience healing. In fact, there are lots of testimonies about people. I heard Joseph Prince told a story about the lady. I think she had cancer or something. I'm not sure exactly. But whatever it was, she was stage 4. And they told her, you know, it's going to get worse. So just put your affairs in order. And her family came and brought her communion every single day. And the lady miraculously got healed. The doctors were scratching their head. They couldn't figure out what happened. You know, God can make a fool out of liars. and I don't say that disparagingly, you know, but they don't know everything. If they did, we'd all be healed. Nobody would be dying from sickness and disease. They don't know everything, but God knows. And he gave us a weapon. He gave us, you know, something to use to, you know, to heal us. And that's why he said, when you do this in remembrance of me, it didn't just mean to remember him, but remember his purpose. Remember why he came. Remember, you know, what he has done. And as we do that, as we take communion in that spirit, in that frame of mind, remembering that Jesus' body was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for us. His blood was shed so that we could be made one with God again. If we remember that, we will see a lot of miracles.
Amen.
And we will be made every bit whole. Just like they were when they came out of Egypt, there wouldn't be a feeble one among us.